Wait a second. You mean he's been listened to and empowered and given responsibility and they're using his skill set? And he doesn't want to come back to where we shit on him and make him do shit and tell him he's a piece of shit and punch him in the face and never, like, literally never talk to Rick ever, the leader of the group? Have they ever had a conversation?
That one time when he thought he was going to drive off the fucking trailer for them and get himself killed to distract the saviors. Mm-hmm. He was like, thanks.
Hey, buddy.
Thanks for that. Hey buddy. Thanks.
Hey, man. Sorry I never knew your name till today, but thanks, man. That's fucking heroic, man.
It's fucking real good, you know. Don't touch me.
Yeah. Hey, what's your name again? Eugene? Oh, cool. Hey, cool, man. I'm glad I know your name now, buddy. That's awesome.
All right. Bye, Everest, or whatever the fuck.
See you later, man. Take it easy, Ernest. I fucking hope they don't torture you to death, man.
They probably will, though. I don't know. I don't really care. I don't know. Sorghum. Thanks for that shit.
Welcome back to the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. I'm Dean, and I'm joined by Matthew. And today, we're going to be talking about The Other Side, closing in on the season finale for season 7 of old Walking Dead. The old Walking Dead, folks. We are going to spoil this episode, so please be warned. And we're probably going to have a couple of bad words come up now and again. So please keep your children far, far, far from Matthew. He's actually legally bound to be far away from your child, and he cannot set foot on a school ground. How you doing, Mr. Anderson?
Mr. fucking throwing stones over here. We all knew who set the precedent. But I'm all right. I'm okay.
You good?
Howdy, howdy. Yeah.
Nice. Well,
boy,
I'm looking forward to talking about this episode today, which is being recorded live, by the way. LibertyStreetGeek.net/live. That's LibertyStreetGeek.net/live. We can catch all our shows live, so make sure you tune in. You can join the chat. You can participate in the show. It's very interactive, man. You know, it's cool. I like it. It's a good time. I have fun with these fucking wackadoos. So, Matt, let's go right into this. Let's go right for the old jugular and talk.
Ooh, okay.
Let's talk what you thought of this episode. Give me your initial impressions of this bad boy. Is this a good episode of The Walking Dead, or is this a bad episode of The Walking Dead, or are you going to ride the fence?
Nah, it's a shitty episode.
Ba-bam!
It's pretty shitty. There we go.
Coming in hot.
Yeah, there's two or three good moments. There's some stuff in there I'm looking forward to talking about, but on the whole, it's kind of a wet fart.
Wow, you made a fart noise and everything. Wow, this is like morning radio.
Well, also, it doesn't help that the last episode was maybe my favorite of the damn season. Like, that was like, I was riding high on that, and then I came to this and I was like, okay, all right. Now what? I remember.
What the fuck, Matthew? You're just like part of the white patriarchy, and you don't understand the sisterhood here, okay? You fucking shitlord. Is that what it is?
Well, they didn't sell me hard enough on it. I didn't believe. I didn't buy. Didn't buy in.
Well, you didn't buy in on it as Rosita regaled you with the men she slept with?
Yeah, it's really empowering. Two women talking about all the dead guys they fucked. That's all their character revolves around is other dudes that are dead and off screen. It's real strong.
Ah, yeah, baby. Good. The hate flows through you. I love it.
That being said, there is some stuff. You
don't
know,
you dare. Throw this fucker in reverse.
I fucking told you. I fucking told you that I had about two or three moments in here I did really like. The rest of it just feels, it's not even, I don't know. We'll get into the nitty gritty as we get there. Basically, my problems with it are I want less of certain things and more of other things. It was like the opposite of what I would hope for. I'm like, I'm getting more of this, what I don't care about, and I would like more of this, which I'm not seeing at all. It was like out of proportion sort of here and there with what I was actually interested in.
Okay.
So, I don't know. This is a weak one. There's always, I mean, hey, I've been watching a show from the start. There's 3 to 4 to 5 clunkers every season. Like there always is. There's always a shitter there, a couple around.
All right. So this episode, I'll tell you what, that opening montage, and I was just spitting my drink all over the place. I was like, what on earth are they doing right now with this ridiculous music, this super dramatic music, right? And then all those people just like, oh, God, Jesus.
Actually, right. I was going to say, one of the things I did like about the show was the music.
Yeah, the music is really good. Like, really it's good. Well, it's musically, the musicality, in my opinion, is very well constructed. I just thought the opening music was really a bit dramatic, but I really liked that sort of post-apocalyptic synth. When they're like sneaking around and shit like that, hijacking the cars or hotwiring the cars. But boy, man, this episode was troubling. And I find myself doing this thing again where I'm like, oh, I'm gonna put this on and I'm gonna pay attention. I'm gonna fucking pay attention. Then I'm like, I gotta check Facebook. This guy can't access their membership bonus material. Gotta fix his email.
And then you're like, uh-oh, the Sabres already showed up. What happened?
Yeah. So I found myself kind of drifting this week. But I have a couple of theories as to why this episode is not ringing. I mean, a lot of people are just smashing it to pieces.
Oh, yeah, totally.
There is some dissent in that, though. Which I think is kind of cool. And I'm going to actually get to it right now. Normally, we reserve this stuff till the end. But Floyd Fry says, I know it's catching a lot of hate, but I actually thought it was an okay ep. We got at least entertaining Gregory at his smarmiest, the always hateable Simon, and what I thought was a well-written and well-acted scene with Daryl and Maggie addressing Glenn's death. Rosita and Sasha are idiots, but the world is full of them. The part that bothered me the most was the bit with them catching the car on fire, which may very well have been the only usable car. They didn't know. And then for what? To distract the walkers for 5 seconds. Stupid of the characters, yes, but more importantly, stupid writing. so he's a little less forgiving based on a couple of the performances here. And it seems like, and I don't want to speak too for him, and actually he's in the chat. There seems to be a bit of a, this is what we're used to. This is what we're used to. So it's okay, right? We've gone from the excellence to, like, we're starting to lower the bar for The Walking Dead, I think. Mm. You know what I mean? Do you find yourself doing that? Like, do you think overall this show is better or worse than it once was? Or is that like a false premise I'm putting forward?
I think it's been back and forth. It's been varying over every season. I mean, I think some seasons are profoundly better than others and some are much weaker. And again, I feel too close to this season to like make a, okay, what? How do I look at it against the others? I still feel like overall, this has been a pretty decent season. I feel like season 4 and 5 are really strong, maybe the strongest, and 6 and 7 have been a little bit weaker overall.
Yeah. Yeah, this season's catching a lot of flack for certain.
Oh, yeah.
But is there anything in particular that stands out about it that bothers you?
As this whole season so far?
No, just this episode.
Oh, this episode. Mostly, I mean, and this I think what everybody's talking about, is that, well, I'll say it like this. I think there have been a lot of missed opportunities with both Rosita and Sasha, and it feels like they're trying to make up for a lot of lost time. Mm-hmm. Like, we could have, I mean, actually, that's one thing I was going to talk about is the information that Rosita reveals about herself and her history. I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty interesting. I'm kind of interested in this. Sure wish we got to find out any more about it than like a fucking 1 minute speech at the very end of this episode, 3 years after you being into the show. We hardly knew anything about her. Like, it's just, we've waited so long to really get in there. I'm like, you're kind of already proving why we don't really feel invested with her. And she's even kind of saying in that scene between her and Sasha that how she's always been an outsider, even when she's been a part of the group and joined in, she never really felt at place. And I'm kind of like, well, yeah, that's how she's kind of been in a meta sense as well, of like, just kind of periphery character, just always kind of a part of Abraham and not really anything else. They didn't really take the time to do much more with her. There was kind of more of a bond between her and Eugene, but that went to shit. And we're just kind of like, well, how are we just to feel about this person? And same with Sasha. Like, I feel like Sasha, at least for me personally, is probably just an opinion thing. I'm a little more interested in her as a character if I had to pick one over the other. But they are
really?
Both. I think a little bit more. Yeah.
Man, just the history she has. I feel so bad.
Oh.
God, I feel so bad.
Well, I mean, that's I got to blame the show on that one, man. I mean,
no, of course, of course.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they just haven't given her enough. They've teased out potential here and there. They could have given her more to do, but then she just laid in a pit on a bunch of zombies. Like, I don't know. She's just there's so much that could have been done, and that, watching these two characters interact together, just the two of them, really kind of brings that to the forefront of like, yeah, these are just two characters. You're not going to make me care about them right now. Like, it's hard to do that 180 in an episode.
Yeah, man. For Sasha, like, it's funny. I'm saying I'm not interested in Sasha, which doesn't necessarily mean I'm more interested in Rosita. But as stupid as it sounds, like, her talking about how she was coming up and how she was learning and all that shit, even though it was fucking dumb, it's the only thing that tips the scale for me to go, oh, she actually has a story. Right, like,
yeah,
they're forcing down your throat now because they're trying to increase the dramatic tension here, which is kind of canned. But they didn't really tell. We never learned anything about. I don't know dick about Sasha. Sasha,
I mean,
Sasha was going to bone D'Angelo Barksdale from The Wire, then he got killed because he got bit, and then her brother Tyrese, which is Cuddy from The Wire, he got killed, right? And then it's just we've never really seen who Sasha actually is, and I feel like we're just not going to get an opportunity to, based on the way this week ended. I could be wrong about that, but
yeah,
it was weird that, you know, with Glenn, we've talked ad nauseum about how they mishandled his death by making it a fucking dumb cliffhanger, right? But
yeah,
it's still outside of the grotesque. I still think for the most part, it was largely acceptable as a horrific experience for the Walking Dead fans. Like Karen, for example, like the super fans who really love the show. I feel like that was an effective way to shock an audience, because Glenn is a character that we didn't just suddenly build up and then kill. Exactly. Glenn is a character that's been being built up and then we killed. And that is a much different effect than a character we don't really care about that we're then trying to funnel into your feelings. Right, it's like there's a oil funnel, right, and they're jamming it into your brain, and they're just pouring a bunch of feeling juice into it, hoping that they can fucking make you feel something for Sasha and Rosita, when all they've done so far has been these peripheral characters whose relationship and interest rest largely on a dead guy they were fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and they're trying. The show is kind of even trying to draw this whole parallel of like. And it's these two women with this, you know, tether of a connection who have nothing else to, you know, to live for in this community anymore, who propel the story forward by being the biggest, like, loose cannons of the group. And I'm like, I get all that. I get it. But I don't have the same investment of feeling for these characters. Like, you know, if all of a sudden Daryl just broke out and went to, like, marching to his death on a suicide mission, I would be more concerned. I would be like, oh, wait, what? You know it's going to kill you, right? Like, that would be a more upsetting thing because, again, Daryl's one of those people from the very beginning. We've had all this time with him. And with these two, they've been there for a while now, almost half the show. But, yeah, we have not spent the same amount of time. Not at all.
Yeah, it's funny. When I think about characters and like that largely do nothing. Like, so for me, Sasha is a character who hasn't really done anything. She's a fine actress. So I'm sure she's going to be great in Star Trek. I feel like she was a character that was just doing her thing. She didn't get a lot of screen time. And then suddenly she goes off kilter. And that's like, we're going to make her interesting because she's going to land a pile of bodies. She's going to become unhinged. She's going to go after what's his name. And then she just kind of righted that ship. It just sort of happened. And then she was back to being how she was at the beginning, which is fairly uninteresting. And then they're like, maybe we'll pair her up with Abraham and see if something happens between these two and we can develop something interesting here. And then they bashed Abraham's brain.
I was about to say, then we'll bust his melon and see if that makes her sad and interesting again.
Right. And it was like they were together for what, a fucking week? Like it felt like so short to me. Compared to where Rosita and Abraham were at, right? And that whole thing and him getting back to the place and I don't know. And now with Rosita, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, Rosita's whatever. We learn that she's pretty effective. She's trying to motivate Eugene in the way she does. And then she gets all pissed off and has this like, I'm going to be a frump and I'm going to be pissed off and I'm going to charge forward. It's like I feel like the writers don't have a nuance of like a female character. Like, you know what I mean? It's weird. Yeah. Oh, Maggie's the fucking caretaker lady and then she gets pregnant and then she's the caretaker mama. Like there's just a lack of nuance in Rosita and Sasha that I can't quite fucking, I can't put my finger on. And yeah. Their arcs just seem, they're not arcs so much as they are, you know, peaks and valleys, right? On the one hand, they're way up, and on the other hand, they're way down. It's not an arc, so to speak. It's more like a peak and a valley to me.
Yeah, no, I do agree that they've just been kind of an up. They feel more like character, like Rick, Michonne, you know, these mainstay characters, they feel like people who have, of course, been at low points and at high points, but it has been a, like you said, it's been in the shape of an arc. It's been a long progression of growth or decline. But when it feels like, what it feels like with Rosita and Sasha is that when the show needs them, they're like, all right, throw them in the spotlight, make this thing, like, now we twist a knife in their side and make, you know, make their feelings come out, or now we do this to make them interesting at times. And it's like they don't stick with them long enough to really let it simmer out. Like, again, all that we're seeing here is that basically, I guess, we're supposed to accept. And I feel like with Rosita, I'm almost to the point where I'm like, I can't accept that she just feels like such an outsider of even their own group and doesn't really have that much she wants to live for. And it's just like, fuck it, I'll go out on a death suicide mission to kill Negan. It's worth it. I don't care if I die. Like, that's what I'm going to do. Sasha, on the other hand, I'm like, wait, just because Abraham died, now you don't give a shit about anybody? You got Maggie here. You've been helping out. I'm like, and all of a sudden she's just like, yeah, I'll go on this fucking kamikaze mission. Mm. That was a harder one for me to, I was like, I don't get it. I don't know.
What would have been fascinating is if the two women bonded over Abraham's death, right? And created this really nice relationship that they had, yet still struggled with these demons of revenge. And instead of trying to make us believe that they give a shit about each other right before they separate them and probably kill one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Excuse true. Me. Anyway, let's hop into this bitch. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's get to it. So I was watching at the beginning of this episode, and I thought Maggie was going to tell me the riddle of steel. The riddle of steel, yes. You know what it is, don't you, boy? Right?
Where people long fucking ago under the eyes of Crom.
Right, she's got people banging out something on a forge. Like, what is this? They going to fight the Uruk-hai? Fucking, they going to fight the Uruk-hai over here?
No, did you see? It looked like a fucking Neptune spear they had over there. I was like, shit, are you guys going to do a brick from the Anchorman riding in with fucking horseback?
Can you summon demons, wizard? I don't know. So they're fucking throwing knives around. Sasha's sharpening her knife like a robot.
Yep.
And this music plays on, really, like, I feel like Walking Dead starting to become a really good music video.
Like, there are some really well directed music and video sequences where it's just the music.
Yeah, it's like, doesn't this feel cool? And then you know, so music plays on. We see sonograms and shit. Little Glenn's in there with his pizza hat on, right?
With his little Domino's hat.
We got fucking Maggie drawing maps for her fucking D&D campaign or something. I don't know what she's doing. like I said, great music, a little out of place. It's kind of had a Game of Thrones sound to it. People practicing ways to die.
Sasha. And here's how I'll fling my knife to the left and then to the right, and then how they'll get their hand on my throat and throw me to the ground and stomp on my head.
Sasha tending Abraham's grave. Enid serving Maggie, who doesn't bother to look up to say thank you. Maggie falling asleep at her studies. Jesus showing off his map making skills.
Sad Daryl.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a minute. But I wrote, why is it so hard for me to get into this? ? Like, I'm literally trying to explore my own thoughts and feelings about The Walking Dead. And I wrote, probably because I don't know if I love these characters that much.
You know what? So I have a question then. Of all of these characters present, mm-hmm. who do you give a shit about the most?
Of the ones at the hilltop?
Yes.
I'd say Maggie.
Yeah, same. Maggie,
like, Jesus can go fucking fly a kite.
What a sharp fall Jesus has been for me.
Oh,
because
my God.
Towards the end of the previous season, I was starting to get on board the Jesus train. I was like, all right, I'm starting to like Jesus more.
Yeah.
And then, man, something about him being like the diplomatic figure now is just not. I've been patient with him. I've been waiting. I've still been giving him credit. And this was the week where I was like, man, I don't know. Jesus, just not that interesting, man. I don't know. Mm. Ugh. I wanted, you know what I really want? You know what? I'll save, I guess, a little bit of this for my final thoughts, but I wanted this to be a Maggie-centric episode. Like, we haven't gotten that. Like, I mean, we had the one where, they were ambushed at the hilltop, whatever. That was the most Maggie-focused episode we've had of this season. But I want to see her basically laying the groundwork and shoring up support among people there to where she's the obvious choice for actual leadership, and Gregory is just kind of, you know, it knows his end is coming, which it alludes to in this episode, but I want to see that as more of the focus.
It'd be cool if Maggie had an opportunity to showcase her leadership instead of just like, over there, over here, like some corny shit they did when they rolled that car into the middle of town.
Throw a knife, y'all.
Like her getting to Daryl, I think that's good leadership. It'd be cool to see if somehow she got to Rosita and Sasha and shored that up. And what a much more poetic and tragic death for Rosita and or Sasha if somehow they mended fences under Maggie's leadership and then tragically one or both of them died at the end, right? I mean, you're trying to make me feel something for these people who are just stomping around going like, fucking go, just fucking leave, go. Hey, get your shit and go. I don't even care. Like when you're stomping
around. It's
like
around. It's like,
God,
the whole boy who cried
go.
Wolf thing.
Yes.
Like you got a fucking 14-year-old. He's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run away. And like eventually you're like, I'll fucking fine do it. Get 13 blocks away and then come back crying because you can't do it.
Mm. Yeah, just keep going. Beat it.
Just go, you fucking dramatic babies.
And then Daryl sits outside like the fucking naughty dog, right? Shouldn't eat cat shit, Daryl. Shouldn't eat cat shit. But you know what? Mommy Maggie's going to bring him his food bowl anyway and give him some crunchies. And hopefully he becomes a good doggy because we know that the doggy needs to eat, okay? The doggy needs his strength.
I mean, he is pretty used to Alpo at this point. He got a lot of that sanctuary.
That's true. So
I like my dog food wet.
Makes it easier for me to go.
When you can mix some dry in there too and put a little water on it. It makes a gravy. It's good.
Yeah.
Daryl likes the gravy.
Yeah, it's true.
Just a total man dog at this point. He's losing the ability to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, anyway, Sasha, as the sun is down, is still at Abraham's grave. I mean, fuck.
I know.
She's like, she's trying so hard to feel something for this guy, and she just can't do it.
That's what she's really doing.
She is
kneeling there like, do I give a shit? I still don't. I'm like, wow, I've already forgotten what your redheaded dick looked like.
She's like, I'm trying to feel something for this guy, but I just can't do it no matter how long I sit at his grave. Lord, I feel so guilty.
Guilty for feeling nothing.
I think that's what's going on. That's her she's struggling with her feelings of guilt for not remembering what the dolphin smooth man was like, right? Never really caring.
Yeah.
Monsters. So anyway, opening masturbation musical ends, and then we start a new musical masturbation with Gregory and the fucking banjos, right?
Clanking his crystal around all hard, dumping out the last dregs of whiskey he can get.
He's chilling, and he looks out his beautiful wooden blinders, and he sees Rosita walking with a determination into the hilltop main gates here.
And well, this is after he already saw all the people gathered around Maggie out there talking earlier, and he's having this like paranoid leader moment of like, they're rising up against me.
Mm.
This typical, useless shithead stuff.
Yeah. So there's something that's actually kind of interesting about the hilltop, and that's the fact that the actual leader is Maggie at this point.
Basically.
Yeah, when the saviors come, she has to hide. It's kind of a cool dynamic.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did actually like that. The savior scene, for one, Simon is probably the most interesting person to watch in this episode.
Banjo music, Rosita strolls into town. She goes to see Sasha. I'm here because I need your help, she tells her. And then opening credits. And we come back on Jesus and Maggie talking trailers, group homes, and family. Jesus feels like he belongs here for the first time. Wah, wah. You know, and then he's gay, right? He likes boys.
Yeah. Yeah, he drops out on us out of nowhere. And I'm like, sorry, bud, it still doesn't make you interesting. Sorry.
The Walking Dead are like, oh, God, I know how we can get these fucks to like us again, huh? I know how. We'll make it a Jesus gay. And then every fucking person is going to be like, oh, my God, that's so awesome, just by default. And they hope that it makes their character interesting because it makes them feel better about themselves. They want you to know that being gay is okay, so they're going to tell you that it's cool just so they can pretend that they give a fuck about anybody's actual struggles, right?
And then also please don't remember that their actually decently well-developed gay character hasn't been seen in like 7 episodes.
Yeah. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Who knows? The one guy who actually did help Maggie get there and everything? I don't know. Fuck him.
Yeah. Fucking Walking Dead is virtue signaling. They're like, we got another gay guy. Guys, see? Get it? And we made his name is Jesus. We made Jesus gay? You made Jesus gay in my America, man. My fucking America.
Oh, man, I'm surprised there wasn't a riot up your way about this.
What are you talking about? Have you ever been to fucking Massachusetts?
I thought the cathedrals would explode or something, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe that. Maybe the fucking...
maybe that part.
Maybe the Irish Catholics would go up in flames. But
they made our Lord and Savior gay.
I don't know if you know this, but Massachusetts may have been the first state to legalize gay marriage, just saying. Despite having a bunch of knuckle draggers up here, like me. Bunch of fucking chuckleheads like me up here. We read a couple books, too, okay? Damn, Mr. Fancy fucking, I got a goddamn show about unknown words. Mr. Fancy fucking progressive, Mr.
Fancy.
Portland. Mr.
Oh,
fucking
yeah.
Portland shoes.
I doff my hat to you, sir.
Yeah, fucking equations and shit on the wall.
Fuck.
Fucking Goodwill Hunting's up here. How you like them apples?
Fucking beautiful mind. Me and my beautiful mind.
We do equations at night. We do equations during the day, and we get into bar fights at night, dude. I don't know what I'm talking about. I've lost myself. All right. So anyway, we go back to gay Jesus, and Sasha splits off from the group. Classic.
And, who would have thought?
Yeah, it's very, very strange. And then she, what did she do next? Oh, she grabs some 308 rounds by the look of it, and then Jesus walks in. Oh. Oh, hey, what are you doing there, Sasha?
My child, come back to the light. Come back to Jesus.
But I
give
can't,
him back
Jesus,
his
you're gay. I can't do it. I don't know. But I was looking for checking the specs on the rotary, like whatever the fucking Tommy
she
boy.
She might as well have been like whistling and like kicking the can around on the floor.
Yeah, she's about to kick the can. Damn.
Damn.
Well, he's like, you can have the bullets.
And you I also still, and I feel like this is an elephant in the room, and a lot of our listeners have been pointing out as well, there's a part of me that goes, I want to say I like Jesus in this scene of being like, I'm not going to like force this whole thing down you. You know, you're obviously going to do what you want to do. I'm not going to sit here and try to stop you because I have to like physically restrain you. You and Rosita are going to go off on your little death mission here. However, I do still wonder, I'm like, Jesus, you've also got to realize, hey, when you kill or attack the saviors, they don't just kill that person and be like, hey, we made an example of that person, so don't anybody else try. They go back to that person's home and kill people. Like, that is their modus operandi. That's what they do. Oh, this is a person from Alexandria or the hilltop? Well, time to go back to the hilltop, round a bunch of randos up and bash their heads in. Like, that's what we're going to do. More people are going to die because of this. I'm surprised he doesn't have more of the, okay, hey, you can still do what you want, but really think about the ramifications of it, Sasha. Like, it's not just you and Rosita who are going to go off like Thelma and Louise and fucking drive off the cliff plowing into Negan. Like, it's going to land back on us. Like, we're going to get the consequences.
Yeah, except Thelma and Louise is interesting. That's the fucking difference here, right?
It's true.
That's fucked up.
We're going hard this week.
If I was...
going hard.
Yeah, if I was Jesus, I would have told on them.
You would have tattled?
Absolutely.
You'd have been a big old tattlebilly?
100%. 100%. Because you're this is fucking dumb, okay? Number one, I don't want these assholes coming back here and, oh, I don't know, maybe caving in Enid's head as a result of your fucking stupid transgressions. That's it.
Well, now I know not to invite you to any parties, you fucking narc.
I'm serious. I would narc the shit out of this. Are you kidding me?
No, you're totally right.
100%. Right?
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're going to go, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? That's your plan. I can't stop you for sure, but I'm fucking telling on you. Like, how does nobody, even Enid, which I guess I could see her maybe being, she does have that thing where she's like, I'm going to tell you in like 4 minutes or whatever. But how do you not? What do you think is going to happen when these two go off to do their thing solo? You've already seen the level of power that Negan wields. You're going to trust these two chicks to head off. Chicks or whoever the fuck. Stop with your letters. It doesn't matter. These two fucking people, right, vaginas or otherwise, are going to go off and they're going to win. They're going to defeat Negan. Yeah. Fuck no, dude. And guess what? You're going to fail. You're going to get caught. They're going to know where you're coming from. And they're going to come right back fucking here and they're going to punish somebody. That's what's going to happen as a result of your stupid fucking mission.
There we go.
Come on, bro.
I also, you know, I got to ask, do we just go ahead and blast through each half of this episode in one go, you know, instead of going the back and forth? I think we just go ahead and get through Rosita and Sasha's nonsense now.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do it.
So, I don't know. So in the chat, Karen's saying they don't know Rosita and Sasha are at Hilltop. No, they don't. But that there's too many unknown contingencies. They get there. Like, for example, they get there and all of a sudden fucking Eugene's there. Oops. Exactly. Oops. Because you don't fucking know. You don't have all the answers. And
oopsies, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now that Eugene see them, now he's in a weird spot. If I don't.
Well, and also, like, no matter what, the hammer is going to come down on either Alexandria or the Hilltop or the Kingdom. So, if, like, even if it doesn't come down on the Hilltop, you know, they leave the Hilltop and, okay, well, they didn't know we came from the Hilltop, so not going to come there. Well, they're still going to kill all your friends at Alexandria or the Kingdom. Like, are you okay with that? Like, there's no good outcome.
There's no good outcome because you're not going to win.
Yeah. You're not going to crush them all definitively and permanently.
Hey, like, you guys are both very motivated. That's awesome. You're very skillful. Great. How about this? Chill for like 3 weeks. We got this. Right. We need you idiots. And I'm glad Jesus does actually say that. He says, we need you. Not anymore. Why? Suddenly you're ineffective? I don't get it.
There's really no argument against that. The only thing that's there is that, and I do truly believe this. Well, okay, I truly believed this for Rosita, but then the end of this episode made me go, well, fuck, I don't know. But like, I believed, you know, especially because of the scene between her and Father Gabriel, that she was just on she is truly just on a suicide mission like that. Mm-hmm. She wants to die. And I'm like, okay, so she's the kind of person who is suicidal, but does not want to kill herself. And she's like, well, I'll at least, you know, blast my worst enemy with my death. I will die in killing the thing I hate the most. And if she's being, I almost wanted, you know what it is? I wish the show had the balls to do the honest scene of Rosita sitting there going, yeah, I know, maybe I'll only get Negan it'll begin a really awful conflict and some of my friends will die. Fuck it. I don't care. Like, I want him. I almost wanted her just to admit to the absolute vengeance and death wish she had and just be like, yeah, that's it. That's me. I don't give a fuck. I would be like damn, I admire your honesty.
They don't explore anything that involves any type of realistic character behavior. And that's what bothers me. Nobody says, do you understand? Like, Jesus doesn't ever say, do you understand how these people work? That's, again, Part of my problem with this season has been some of the dialogue. I just think it's been really shitty. And people aren't saying things that I think they should say. We've talked about that before in the show. Like, people don't say things they should say in these moments, right? Like, hey, do you understand what's going to happen when you go out there? They're going to trace it back to here. Do you understand that? Or they're going to trace it back to wherever. Do you understand that? Do you understand the people that you're jeopardizing and all that shit? And if she wants to scream no and cry and storm off, okay, fine. But at least they addressed it. Like, to not address it is so silly to me. For nobody ever to just say, hey, Do you understand why you can't do this? Hilltop has witnessed a boy, in their words, beaten to death as a result of them fucking around with the Saviors, right?
That's true.
Come on, man. Like, at least have the conversation. And then if you want to sell us on the fact that she doesn't care and she storms off anyway, I can totally wrap my head around that. Like, I can totally wrap my head around being that unhinged. But for the other people not to address it is infuriating.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. People would say something, I think. Just fucking speak
up.
I can't
argue against that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Anyway, so all this bullshit. She's going because Rosita's going, and then she says the Hilltop has to be ready for what happens after. Thanks. Hey, thanks, Sasha. Her words. The Hilltop has to be ready for what happens next. Awesome. Cool, thanks. Much obliged. Maggie needs you. She needs you too. Not anymore. All this nonsense. Am I doing this right? How did you want to do this? I'm sorry.
I was thinking we just blast through their whole, the whole Sasha and Rosita storyline in one go here. And then we come back around for the Hilltop thing.
All right, that's fine. We got to get them out of Hilltop. So we'll continue on this line, I guess. So Jesus continues to try to get her to stay. I wish you would, because it's a long life and there, and then it isn't. You owe Maggie a discussion. Fucking A, you do. Jesus leaves. Sasha pleads with Enid. She's like, protect her. She's the future. So are you. Because I'm old and washed up. Sasha gives Enid some trash for the baby to play with. I don't know what the fuck she gave her. Did you catch that?
Some trash.
I don't know what it is.
It was like a little bracelet.
It was a bracelet? Made out of trash?
Made out of like string? I don't know. You make it sound like it's like, here's this protein bar wrapper I wiped my ass with. You give it to the baby.
That sounds painful, number one. Number two, sounds very unhygienic.
Oh, for sure.
But anyway.
Hey, it's the apocalypse, baby.
Enid's like, look, I'm going to tell on you, so go. And then nice movie. Enid, Sasha puts on her road leathers. And then the fucking bell goes off. The Saviors are coming. The Saviors are coming.
Light a candle.
Ah, nice. One if by sea. Sasha and Rosita go to their faux woodpile fucking dwarven secret passage, which I thought was kind of cool.
Dude, that I liked. Yeah, I was cool, like, that's pretty dope. And see, that was what, I loved that for Rosita and Sasha, but I remember thinking, wait, so Maggie and Daryl, you guys don't already have like four spots offhand where you could always run to hide to, given the Saviors might show up, because they're going to show up for regular pickups. That's
always
part of their whole deal. And they also, there's a total precedent for these unannounced barge-ins. I'm like, you should be ready at the drop of a dime to hide from them. Like, that should always be on the top of your list.
Yeah.
You both are like FBI's most wanted, basically, right now for them.
They should definitely have a route into the woods somewhere. Out of the premises. Because then, worst case scenario, if you get pinched out there, it might not come back on Hilltop.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, well,
fools. Instead, they get in their Twister fucking basement hideout. It's an F5.
What's it say on the Fujita scale? Oh boy, I think they named it fucking Simon. Well, Daryl tries to run, I hate when he runs. I wish he'd call up Tom Cruise and get running lessons.
He does have a bit of a funny slouch when he runs.
He's got
a little bit of a hunch.
Got a weird gait to him.
He kind of does at times, yeah.
So the Saviors start piling in with their fucking war boys vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
And then Daryl and Maggie hide in the place where the Saviors will likely look for supplies. That was me writing, being an asshole.
I gotta say, I loved the music for this whole scene, for one.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But especially the way it dials down for Simon and all his guys walking in, because there is something, we've talked about this before, there is still something genuinely intimidating about the way that the Saviors roll in the sense of, like, it's never them and, like, five guys or, like, mm-mm, six guys. It's like a fucking full-blown platoon every time.
For sure.
It's like Simon and 60 dudes. And it does have an intimidating quality to it still. Like, they always seem overwhelming.
They always come in, yeah, they got a ton of guys. I don't know if it's 60, but it's a lot. And it's enough to tell you that if you want to fight, then everyone's dying today, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the point. It's overwhelming numbers. that makes it a statement, and it also is insurance for Simon, because if these people want to get fucking wacky, there's a lot of fucking guys, man.
A lot of fucking guys. Yeah.
So Simon and Gregory talk. Simon lays it on a little thick. He's getting a little Neganitis here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know Negan taps these kind of guys. He's like, who's a charismatic fucking asshole? Like, right. Who can be quippy and shitty but do what I sell?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Gregory tries to get Simon into his office for some gin, but Simon's into tequila now, I guess.
He very Darth Vaderian of like, the deal's changed again. I'm not into that anymore.
Yes, pray I don't alter it further.
Shit tastes like turpentine now. I'm a strange creature.
I'm so wacky. He's hopping around.
But I fucking love Stephen Ogg, man. Fucking, he's so Trevor. He's good. Yeah. He's good in this role. He's like a big man-sized snake.
He makes me want to play Grand Theft Auto, that's for sure.
That's for sure. What a fun character to play as.
Simon says this will be a quick visit. He's looking for somebody. Cut to Daryl and Maggie in the food storage. Cut to Rosita and Sasha in the woods. Cut to Sasha and Rosita trying to get themselves a car. I guess we'll come back to them.
Do you want to just blast through?
No, let's just blast through these bitches.
Yeah, let's just get through their shit.
All right.
All right.
Take me through.
Well, I mean, there's the very first scene where they're out. They get out to the forest, and I guess they have a very brief, you could sort of call a plan of, we need to go ahead and get a hold of a car, and then we cut to them trying to hotwire a vehicle, and, you know, Rosita realizes the car is dead, but they're going to at least try to fuel some gas out of it, and that's when she notices fucking Sasha wearing the necklace of a half of a heart she made for her boy, for Abraham. I hope you like it. I made it, bitch.
Yeah. Compelling. Great music is here, though. The great music is in this scene.
Yeah. Nothing but good music this episode.
They walk
off. They really knew they had to slack to pick up for.
Sasha asks Rosita about disarming bombs. Rosita, she isn't here to play get to know you. Sasha talks about a tall building overlooking Negan's courtyard. Well, that's a bit of an oversight by the tactician Negan.
Right.
Hey, buddy, do you see that tower out there? You got a lot of enemies. Assume somebody could get up there with a fucking rifle and kill you.
Right?
What the fuck,
burn it
man?
Down or fill it full of guys. I don't know. One or the other.
Put a guy in there.
Put a guy. Put a bouncer outside.
Do it clean. Maybe we get out of there alive. Rosita's like, I want to make sure we get him. So they're arguing about the approach here. Rosita's thinking, I want to get in there and ensure his doom. And Sasha's like, we got to be clean. We got to be clean out there. And then they kill some walkers. Nothing's wrong with me, Sasha. I want to make sure he's dead. Sasha urges Rosita to think about it. Let me go back to...
And you see, and it's like I can even kind of buy, because nobody else, Rosita is the only character to have genuinely taken a shot at Negan, and it just so happened to strike his bat and not him. Mm-hmm. And so I get the whole... I really want to make sure he's fucking dead. I'm not going to fuck up again. I can understand her being pissed about that and being like, I'm going to really not miss my opportunity. But I still wish the show had the guts here to just have her be like, I don't care about getting out of there alive. Be like just I wanted her to just like I would respect her character so much more if she would just come out and say it. Be like, I know I'm going in here and I'm probably gonna die, and that's kind of what I'm out here for. I'm gonna go in and kill him. I don't care what I have to do to make it happen.
Yeah, because God knows they don't have the patience to, you know, maybe try to snipe him from here, and if that doesn't work, if that plan fails, withdraw and disperse and take off, and then. He's got enemy. You know, people are trying to take shots at him. He's going to go to that building and try to figure shit out, right? They don't know who fucking took the shot at him.
No. That's true.
I don't know. But anyway, Sasha and Rosita, they cut their way into a fence through a car window. They set it on fire. They distract like four walkers or something.
Yeah. They bust through the car, set it on fire, get the walkers away so they can actually hotwire a vehicle.
Which they do. They drive off. And the next scene... They're taking aim on the courtyard. They being Sasha, she actually spots Eugene and some walkers stuck to a fence.
You know, I did enjoy seeing Eugene in his new bad guy black jacket, though. Did you like that?
I liked it a lot, too. Accentuated by a stuffed animal. just hanging out of his pocket.
He's a fucking internet weirdo in a world without the internet.
It's my familiar from WoW. don't make... sorry, where are we? Jesus Christ, my notes are not designed for this approach, but I got it. So they see Eugene. Eugene's out there. It looks like he's ordering people around. Sasha wants to learn about Rosita's knots, and all of a sudden they start bonding.
Well, I like also how Rosita just automatically jumps to it. She's like, ah, you must be playing some angle.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, you still trust him. Okay, you still think he's just, yeah, no, he's going to come back around. Our sweet Eugene that I've always treated like dog shit.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Wait a second. You mean he's been listened to and empowered and given responsibility and they're using his skill set? And he doesn't want to come back to where we shit on him and make him do shit and tell him he's a piece of shit and punch him in the face and never, literally never talk to Rick ever, the leader of the group? Have they ever had a conversation?
That one time when he thought he was going to drive off the fucking trailer for them and get himself killed to distract the saviors. Mm-hmm. He was like, thanks.
Hey, buddy.
Thanks for that. Hey buddy. Thanks.
Hey, man. Sorry I never knew your name till today, but thanks, man. That's fucking heroic, man.
It's fucking real good, you know. Don't touch me.
Yeah. Hey, what's your name again? Eugene? Oh, cool. Hey, cool, man. I'm glad I know your name now, buddy. That's awesome.
All right. Bye, Everest, or whatever the fuck.
See you later, man. Take it easy, Ernest. I fucking hope they don't torture you to death, man.
It probably will, though. I don't know. I don't really care.
I don't know.
Sorghum. Thanks for that shit.
Delicious. Hey, we're just going to knock over a store and get actual food, man. Take it easy. Yeah, Jesus. I could see why I wouldn't want to go back to these guys.
Right.
Yeah. I want you to stand over here in the fucking memoirs and watch Abraham plow Rosita. That's your life. That's your life.
You stand there. You stand there in the self-help books, ignoring them.
He's flipping through a Kama Sutra. He's like, is that the downward facing elephant? He's like, he's trying to figure out what they're doing.
I need to get in a better position for this recon.
Anyway, they talk about tying knots.
It's real cute. Yeah. Reminds me of my Boy Scout days.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Anyway, it won't matter soon, Rosita says. It might.
Also, you know, I had a prediction that I was going to save for the end of this, you know, my final thoughts. But watching this scene again of her tying the rope in the way she is, when I first watched this, I was thinking, oh, okay, so she's making some kind of basically rope ladder for herself, just, you know, knots to grab onto to maybe, you know, climb down from this building or whatever. But the way I look at it now, I think it might be possible. For one, my prediction was that the explosives they picked up are going to come into play, that Rosita brought some with them, whether Sasha realizes that or not, that Sasha had snuck some. I just think that the explosives are going to come into play here because there's just no way you do enough damage without something like that. And the way that Rosita was tying that rope with all these little separate like loops throughout them, I was like, ooh, you could put the sticks of dynamite. They're kind of strung out the way they were on the wire.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm wondering if there's something like that might happen. I don't know if next week, because the show has the tendency to zip away from whatever we were looking at the episode before, but I don't know. I think that is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure some chick who banged a fucking race car driver is going to disable Savior's camp.
Yeah, the big with a fucking string of dynamite.
It's possible.
Couldn't possibly. I mean, she certainly doesn't care if it kills her. That's for sure.
That's for sure. Yeah, it doesn't matter if she fucks up.
Pretty much.
So Sasha starts in with, we're lucky that we had you. And then she's like, Johnny taught me about bombs. Marcus talked to me about cars. Chase talked to me about knots. He sounds the most interesting, right? Tied her up and shit. And then, you know, all the guys wanted to protect me. I hated the way I felt. I couldn't protect myself. I appreciate that she admits that. So I rolled with it and got better at them, at the stuff they taught me, I guess. So
yeah,
straddling a man and strangling him to death, she was better at it 100 pounds.
No, I do. I think it's interesting watching, you know, listening to a person who gained, you know, competency post-apocalypse, like, you know, had to meet these people over time. And maybe some of them were pre- pre-zombie era, but it sounds like she's just basically dated guys or hooked up with guys over the apocalypse to learn these skills and eventually found her way to Abraham. I do think that's kind of interesting that she was just paying enough attention to people, but on a very individual level. Like, even the way she describes it, like, she's never, ever a part of a community. Like, it was just, yeah, I kind of latched onto a person and mm-hmm. would stick with them, learn their stuff, and then move on to another person after that. Like, never really too involved in a family style or community style environment.
Mm-hmm. Right. The sex was for fun. And then she says something that probably the most wisdom she imparts on the show. The world is over. Everyone should be getting their rocks off.
Yeah. Can't argue with that.
We've said that this whole fucking podcast. We've said
this whole fucking time. Anyway. That's why I was so delighted when Rishon finally happened. It's like about fucking time.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they talk about Abraham. Is that how it was with him? Rosita shakes her head. No, I fell in with him because he knew I could handle my shit and never looked back. So she respected Abraham for Abraham not coddling her, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. For just acknowledging that she was already proficient and he didn't have to, like, fucking, yeah, baby her.
So what do you think about this thing with them being upset with each other and the thing about him being all good and, like, how did you take this?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm still kind of mixed feelings about this. Like, to be honest, what you said earlier, I like the idea of more of them. I can buy them growing a relationship out of common knowledge of this person, even though the fact that, you know, they were both, you know, had sex with him and had this, you know, kind of shitty relationship because of the way he left Rosita for her. I do like the idea of them kind of overcoming that post his death and having a relationship. But we've done basically the total opposite of that up until this scene.
Sure.
And so, I don't know. I wish there was a little more groundwork for that laid, because it's a lot easier just to have Rosita just be a stiff arm all the time and be like, no, no, fuck everything, no, no.
Right.
And that's how she has been till right now. Because I do, I believe it's interesting to watch two people who in our world would have no reason ever to have any contact like this together. Like, oh, yeah, I found the guy that my, you know, ex left me for, the person my ex left me for to go, fuck, I'm not going to be your friend. I'm not going to talk. We're not going to have a relationship. We're not going to work together. Fuck that. You can avoid that context forever. You can just be done with it. I like that this is a unique situation of them being forced together, and it is interesting that they have that in their past and they can kind of choose to bond over it or, you know, remain enemies about it. And I like that in this scene they do kind of start to come closer together. I just wish we'd had more of it and seen it sooner.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So him saying, the way it made it sound, living there, feeling like we made it, I couldn't pick that up. Then when he bounced, I thought I hated you. Maybe I hated that he figured out his shit first. I never told anyone any of that stuff, who I was, what I did. It's funny because I always felt like I didn't know, I didn't get the reason that's why Abraham bounced. I never really understood that. We talked about that too. I never really understood that whole thing. Because when they were in Alexandria, yeah. I never got the impression, at least they never showed us, that Rosita was unhappy being...
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I think, yeah. No, I was trying to think about that as well. Like, looking back, I'm like, what were those, you know, that time when they first get to Alexandria and they're just there for a couple months and Rick is like the constable. I'm like, what were they all dealing with? Because there was that episode where Abraham was kind of involved with, like, leading the construction crew at one point and was, like, seemed to be getting into it, especially when the zombies came and he had to put up the defense. You know, he felt at place, you know, there. And I don't really, and this is the show's fault, again, of I don't really remember what Rosita was acting like during this time. I everybody of Rick's crew was kind of uncomfortable because this was such a new, they'd just been out in the raw world for so sure. long. They hadn't felt anything like this before. So everybody was kind of on edge. But when I think about it, I mean, I guess there was a little bit of that Abraham was finding his place a little bit more, that he was relaxing into it maybe a little bit better than she was. And, you know, she was maybe faking it for his sake, like trying to be like, yeah, I'm with this. This is good. You know, just for the sake of trying to, you know, be alongside him.
Yeah. I it's not sticking out in my head. That could just be because my memory is not good. I couldn't tell you. But maybe that happened. I just never don't remember it.
Yeah.
I was stupid to waste so much time, she said. I was stupid to waste so much time. I'll never get to tell him that I was happy, that he was happy. And then she says, were you happy? Meaning the two of you. Oh, no, were you happy? She says to Sasha. Sasha says, I was. It wasn't his time. Abraham would have wanted to fight. Asshole the bat took that away. They share some tears. I guess we all want that. I got you back, she says. Negan pulls up, and they can't get a clean shot.
No, they cannot. Hmm. He's always perfectly behind some other asshole's head.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not... The acting is fine from these two. I want to make sure that I'm not disparaging what they are given. Like, they do a good job of getting their tears on and saying what they need to say and delivering their lines. I'm just not sold on the story in general.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do, I buy them both as outsiders, I guess I would say, that, you know, both of them kind of have a similar trajectory of being latched on to individual people, individual men, and not so much the wider group. You know, for Bazit, I mean, not for, God, I keep fucking mixing up their names, but for Sasha, you know, she was with Tyrese for so long, you know, her brother, and I think kind of just they were very much, you know, a duo and stuck together in that way. And then it was she met Bob, and then she lost him pretty tragically. And then it was finally, you know, coming around to Abraham, which she was reluctant to doing, and then that bit her in the ass, and she lost him. So I buy that each of them is in this place of I keep losing the individual, the only individuals I care about, and the power of the group doesn't hold that much sway for me. Whereas for some people, you know, like Rick has the whole, you know, mindset of I'm working for the good of all of us and for the good of the group, and I care about the welfare of everybody else in a not just a leadership broad kind of way, but in a way that's personal. And I buy each of them being not on that page of like, I care about you people, but not enough to like give up a lot for it. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to abandon what I want just because it's better for the group. That I do buy them being like, I'm going to try for my own thing. I just don't know if I quite buy it to the extent that they're going.
Gotcha.
I buy them being resistant and then kind of finding common ground with each other, though.
So they head down to the fence and gasp. They see Eugene. They tell Eugene, we're getting you out of here. And then he pulls a fucking Reek from Game of Thrones, and he's like, no. And he doesn't want to be fucking rescued. He doesn't want to be broken out.
And then Rosita's like, come on, you dumb, ugly, fat dog shit with shitty hair. Come back to our loving camp.
Come on, you tiny thumb dick piece of shit. Never going to get laid, asshole. Come back with us.
Come back with us, you dumb fuck.
Jesus Christ. Come back, you weak ass would never survive the apocalypse without stronger friends, piece of shit. Get in the fucking car.
Coward.
Jesus Christ.
I think I am still going to stay here. I'm going to go play Atari.
I'm probably going to go play Atari with a bunch of girls in cocktail dresses, man.
That I'm never going to touch.
Yeah, exactly. I guess. Well, can't say I blame the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. But I did love the fucking Splinter Cell assassination right in front of him right before they run up.
And he has to tink.
Plink. Guy's down.
Yeah.
But damn. So this pops off.
He storms away. They fucking cut the gate. Sasha does a little Houdini move. And
she does.
Yeah.
What does she do right? Does she zip
literally
something
says
like,
that weak lying piece of shit as he walks away. I'm like, yeah, no wonder he's walking away. You fucking
that
idiots.
Weak lying piece of shit.
Weak lying sack of shit.
Oh, that's good.
That's more shit. Than a piece, right? So anyway, they cut in, they get cracking, and then old Sasha pulls a slippery move.
She does. She gets in first, and does she actually like zip tie the fence or something? Like she does something to it to keep Rosita from following her real quick here.
She takes the bolt cutters and then relocks the chain. She has like a bike, one of those bike chains with her.
That's what it is. Yep, you're right.
She's like, go. I'm about to run in this room and get shot and die in like 1 second. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be great. Nope. It's going to do so much.
Into the belly of the beast. See ya. Charles charging in there with that beautiful 308 that she's going to lose.
She's got two fucking bullets for it. Literally two bullets. All right, great. Yeah. Best of luck, I suppose.
We, but see, off she we goes. See two guys come out of the room she went into, and then we get Rosita taken off, running off in her cute little boot and sock combo she loves so much.
very fall forward fashion sense.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's very sexy, if I do say so myself.
But then, I guess this is actually the final shot of the episode. We're going to loop back, but there's been obvious some controversy about who she sees here at the end. Who do you think this is?
Who she sees at the end? Fucking Daryl. Yeah.
Some people have been speculating that it was Dwight.
Really?
But, yeah. Why? Because I guess Daryl doesn't still have his crossbow, and you can see a crossbow on the guy's shoulder.
Daryl got a crossbow from Ezekiel, didn't he?
Did they give him one?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Maybe so. Maybe.
Why would because Dwight be standing all ominous in the distance?
Right.
Why wouldn't he just shoot her?
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I was totally in the camp.
Are people speculating like Dwight's going to be fucking moved by this act of courage and then like join them? Like, I don't know. Don't overthink it, man. I think it's Daryl.
Yeah, I think it's Daryl. I don't know.
But
where
maybe
that's all coming
not.
From.
I mean, we could be totally wrong.
I guess.
Maybe Maggie got to him. Maybe we're supposed to believe Maggie got to him, and maybe that's why they're speculating Dwight.
I
would imagine if there was some sort of break-in thing happening and your name is Dwight, you're probably going to be have a weapon up or like I think it's also corny. Like have your fucking if it's Dwight and people are breaking into the Savior's compound, have a weapon up and be like, don't just stand there like one of those fucking horror movies where the shadow starts moving at you. You know, he's just standing there like a weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is something Daryl would do. So
he would.
There we go. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's probably Daryl.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Anyways.
That too.
Well, that's pretty much their shit. And there we go. Yeah. I mean, also, I got to say, do you think this is it for Sasha? Next time we see Sasha, is it going to be the last time?
I don't think they're going to kill her off camera, no way.
Oh, no, yeah, not off camera, but I mean, do you think the next time she's in an episode, if it's not the literal next episode, it's going to be her end, that she will meet it in that one?
I don't know. I feel like it's just too easy to pop her off here.
Think so? I mean, maybe
they open it in the whole fucking first half of the episode, epic. You know, level clearing Splinter Cell shit, and then she gets killed at the end. I don't know.
And also, like, I do think
this
the whole
could be
explosive
a red herring.
Thing.
This could be a red herring for Rosita's death.
No, oh, it's true. That's also true.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I like the idea of them blowing themselves up almost as well. Like she's got like a whole backpack full of the TNT, and she's gonna try to fucking jihadi herself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess the chat's screaming that it's probably Dwight, and everybody else says it's Dwight, too. So maybe we're just the idiots. It's possible.
Oh, God.
I just don't understand why if somebody's breaking your compound, you don't know the size and disposition of the fucking force attacking it, and your name's Dwight, you'd have a weapon at the ready instead of standing like a weirdo.
Yeah.
Right, no, so fuck, somebody's breaking in. What do you mean? I'm just going to go down and stand in the shadows and be a creep. Like, it's just stupid. Why would he do that? I don't know. Whatever, dude. It's one of those two long-haired fucking fruitcakes. Does he still walk around with a crossbow, Dwight?
I think so. I'm trying to remember the last time we saw him. I'm not 100% sure, though.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know. It's fucking Daryl. Fuck everybody.
The chat is onto something, though, because if it's a chance of fuckery, where a lot of people are like, oh, cool, Daryl's there, and then it's Dwight, and then Rosita's dead. Like I said, Sasha's the red herring. Right.
It's possible.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
So
well, we're done with them.
Yeah. Let's go back. Let's backtrack a bit here, buddy. You want to go back to old? What do you want to? Where were we? Help me out. This is your fucking mess.
Oh yeah. Well, we left right as Simon had rolled in and was starting to talk to Gregory, because that's when Rosita and Sasha are off in the woods.
Off in the woods. What's this? Gregory and Jesus at the end. I don't need this paper. You got me all turned around here, pal. So Simon goes to see doctor, right? That's what happens. All right. So, right? Simon goes to see Harlan, the hilltop doctor. He tells him he's taking him with him. Congrats, you're moving on up.
Moving up in the world.
Yeah.
We fried your brother.
Did you know they were brothers?
No.
I totally
But it does
that.
Make sense now what Negan, you know, joked
yes,
about in that episode where he's like, now good thing we got a spare Dr. Carson.
Yes.
I remember that line tripped me up. I was like, spare doctor I get, but I'm like, is that just a manner of speech? You know, just a play with words of we got a spare Dr. Carson, meaning we have a spare person who can be our new Dr. Carson, mm-hmm. any doctor. But no, he meant it in a pretty literal way of we've got another Dr. Carson at the hilltop.
Right.
Go get him.
So apparently his brother got schmelted. Yeah, that's right. So Simon offers a case of aspirin to replace the doctor that they're going to take. I like how he says, why do we need two doctors? He's like, we don't. That's a great line. Because they don't have two doctors anymore. He's dead.
Oh, I thought my facial expression would have told you enough.
Right.
He's pretty fun to watch, I got to say.
So Gregory asks Simon for a word. I like this. I like a little bit of this intrigue. This is the stuff I'm interested in.
Same, man. I like the stuff.
I like when he's like, listen. You know?
I almost wish that this episode, as far as, you know, we should have laid the groundwork of this growing relationship between Rosita and Sasha earlier, and then this episode could have skipped most of that other stuff, and it could have been, we see Rosita, holy shit. Well, that's their couple name. Fuck, I just farted it on accident. But anyways, Rosita and Sasha, we could see them slip off at the very beginning, and then the rest of the episode is all Maggie and Gregory and Simon kind of underhanded dealings and power, you know, power vying. And then maybe the last scene of the episode is them, Sasha and Rosita, we return to them at the sanctuary and them slipping into the compound maybe.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't need this other shit. I wanted the focus to be on Maggie and the hilltop. Like, that's more interesting, the intrigue here.
Right, right. And I guess we'll have to talk about them being in the storage closet, the fucking storm cellar from Twister, while this all goes on up above.
True, exactly.
But Gregory calls himself a can-do guy. He also tells Simon that he needs his people to trust him or someone else may take over. I like this. I like that Gregory is aware enough to see this, and he knows that he probably should try to do something about it. When you're swarmy like this, a little smarmy shit, you don't have a lot of allies. I mean, it's not like you're going to get any respect from the saviors. And the more you start losing your grip on Hilltop, the more you find yourself really a man alone.
Oh, totally. I mean, he's got to know that he's really only got enemies left. Like, nobody is on this guy's side. The only people who are on his side are the very cautious pragmatists, and even they don't like him. They just think, well, we stick with Gregory because he's not going to rock the boat, and that's our best option right now. That's the last people you've got left, and they still don't even like you. They don't think you're a cool guy. They just think you're the safe option.
Sure. But look, if you're having problems of that nature, come to see me anytime, Simon says. I'll arrange you so the guard will let you in, long as there are no shenanigans afoot. You're a good producer for us. I don't want you so stressed, Simon says. And he makes another play trying to keep his doctor. Simon kind of pushes him past that. But what do you think's going on here? Do you believe Simon is interested in this man's well-being because of the reasons he stated?
Basically, without being, you know, it's obviously his whole overtones of being like, oh, I want to look out for you, Greg. You're a good guy. You're a good provider. That's all bullshit. It's more just that I'm good at keeping your shrivelly little ass under my thumb, and I don't want to deal with a coup here and who else might take over and be more rebellion-minded. Like, you're a shrimp that I can kick around, so yeah, I want to keep you in power.
Right.
Like, that's Puppet State 101, baby. You gotta have a weak-ass just bullshitter in power so that you can fucking keep your hand up his ass.
Sure, absolutely. I wonder why... I wonder what Simon plans to do here. What do you think?
Oh, as far as, like, his actual offer?
Did I say
offer?
Simon? I meant Gregory.
Oh, Gregory. I do think Gregory might straight up feed, you know, Maggie, or attempt to feed Maggie and Daryl to the Saviors at some point. Like, he might hang that over their head of, like, hey, I've got the in line at this point. You know, and he basically says that at the end to Jesus, where he's like, you might not want to talk like that to me around here, you know, not with all the saviors coming around lately. Like, he's basically sure. implying that I can sell you out to them. Like, I'll be okay and you won't.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that final scene here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, like, the closer of their arc.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. I also love how the audacity of Jesus to be like, you let him take the doctor. I'm sorry. Are you not keeping score here, Jesus? Look, I know you know, yeah. I know you don't count so good, right?
That was some dumb shit. Where I'm like, what? What? Oh, what were you gonna do? Do one of your flying fucking dragon kicks?
You do one of your shitty
to Simon's
kicks?
Face?
Yeah.
One of your shitty kicks, and then get lit up by the other 40 dudes in the room.
Yeah.
What was your option, shithead?
Here's your option. You can fight him. Die and they take the doctor anyway, or you could let him take the doctor. yeah. All these, like, that's like some 20-year-old male shit to say. You let him take him,
right?
You don't even know, bro. I would have fought him, dude. I fucking get crazy. I would have been swinging.
I got wicked punches, dude. I could punch so fucking hard.
Doesn't even make any sense. It's like, of course. What is he gonna do?
yeah. Anyway. That's ridiculous.
People are going to stay. They're going to chip in. No more free rides on the teat. You let them take. That's when he brings up the Dr. Carlson thing. But you're trying to split everyone up, Jesus notes, which Gregory gets a kick out of. You shouldn't talk to me like that. Like you were saying, I could just send you down the river. Call it a fucking day. Did you just threaten me, bro? Because I will fucking kick you over this thing. yeah.
Fuck.
I look out for my friends, and I realized we're not friends. He just tells Jesus straight up. Kind of a weird thing. Why lay it on Jesus so thick?
I don't understand his relationship with Jesus at all. Mm-hmm. I'm always just like, why haven't you sold him out? You fucking hate Jesus. Like, they've always hated each other. When the Hilltop was first introduced, I was like, oh, okay, well, obviously there's a lot of animosity between these two, but evidently Jesus is probably their best fighter and is also probably good at bringing back, you know, scavenged goods. Like, he's probably one of their better people for that. So they, you know, it's hard to get rid of a valuable asset, even if you think he's an asshole. But the more that goes on, I'm like, I don't really see Jesus doing any of that stuff. And now they have met. Like, I feel like Gregory's the kind of guy who'd be looking for any moment to just sell him out and throw him under the bus. Like, just be like, oh, hey, by the way, Simon, hey, Jesus said your mustache looks stupid. Kill him now. Kill him.
I don't know.
But crucify Jesus, Simon.
If Jesus is your best fighter, you fucked. That's just the truth. You're in deep shit. It's fucking so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do we podcast about this?
You fucking don't give in. Don't give
Why
in to the dark
do we
side
do
yet.
This every week.
Don't you give in. You fuck. Last episode was good. Don't forget
Matthew,
that.
Matthew, is the dark side stronger?
Dark side. Jesus Christ.
Quicker. Easier. More seductive.
more powerful, yes.
suffering or whatever the fuck he says. I don't know. All right. Back in the basement, this fucking jerk off savior slips past Enid, who tries her little heart out, gives a good college try.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's it.
That's it? Is it? That's really? It. Maggie and Goodell just not even in it. They're just not in there.
Yeah, they something crying.
Yeah, they cry.
Can you do me a favor? Can you just take me through it? Can you help me out?
Yes. Well, I mean, basically all that happens here is that Daryl is ready to, of course, stab the shit out of the savior, who gets past the impeccable defense of Enid, girl with vegetable basket lady. Gets inside of this, you know, cellar and starts looking around, and Daryl's ready to stab him to death. And it's Maggie who does hold him back, keeps him from this, you know, again, a shitty, impetuous decision that would get them killed.
I like so, the scene.
Yeah, no, I think this is
We've learned two things. Number one, it was cool to see some tension building with some neat music. And number two, that Daryl hasn't learned anything yet.
Nope, Daryl, because Daryl's Daryl. Like, he is Daryl here. And I like, basically, that Maggie recognizes
He's
that.
Full of that, growth and nuance. Super interesting.
Fucking Jesus.
Sorry. I'm in a tough spot.
Hey, Karen Lomas, do you want to do the show? You want to start your own podcast with me, Karen? You just let me know. Just fucking let me know. Let all these other fucks drink their haterade.
I know. I get it. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But no, I like that in this scene. This is more like subtle, more nuanced leadership qualities from Maggie. Like, of her basically being like, I don't hold this against you. Like,
yes,
you know, that Daryl is Daryl, and he has this, he has his way about him. And like we talked about just on the past episode of everybody is so, and I'm actually, it's kind of an interesting psychological phenomenon when you think about it, because the internet's a good example of it right now, of everybody being so uniformly like, well, and of course it's Daryl's fault that that Clem was killed, you know, it's all his fault, and that's why he's so upset. And I'm like, yeah, it is his fault in a very Stockholm syndrome way. Like, Negan turned around with a baseball bat after holding all these people hostage and bashed Glenn's head in. Negan killed Glenn.
Yes.
Like, that's, you can never, it is some creepy fucking getting into a dark, strange place if you take away the responsibility of a murder from the murderer. Like, that's not good. And so that's, I like that Maggie is able to recognize that, of like, no, you didn't do anything. Like, you did what you, you know, it was maybe a rash decision. It was certainly stupid. It was bad judgment, and he shouldn't have done that in that situation. But it was a terrible situation where he was probably going to kill another person anyways. I wouldn't have been surprised if he had always just kept that up his sleeve. But Maggie's just basically reinforcing that. Yeah, no, Negan's a psychotic murderer. Like, you are who you are. It's obvious that you cared about Glenn. She knows it's not that he didn't give a shit that, you know, and somebody else was going to get hurt and just did that.
Sure.
You know, Daryl is Daryl. You cage up a wild dog and then you reach your hand in and it bites you. You don't get upset that, you know, it bit you. That's what he do.
That was beautiful, man.
Yeah. It's his nature, you know, the scorpion and the frog thing, all that shit.
Oh, look at you.
Look at me.
You knew I was a snake, silly woman. Well,
you knew I was a white trash punching redneck. You can't put me in a position where I want to throw white trash redneck punches. I'm going to do it.
They're really looping punches.
They are. Real wide.
Real wide.
Greasy knuckles.
Usually got a ton of beer in them, too. So anyway,
yeah.
He doesn't kill him, and then he cries. I like this stuff.
Yeah,
I like it.
Again, I wish we had more of that. I wish this was a focus of this episode was just basically Maggie, Daryl, Simon, and Gregory. I'm like, that's what I fuck Jesus, fuck Rosita and Sasha. I don't care.
I like how she says you haven't said a word to me since ever since you got here. You haven't said a word to me. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that to me is realistic. That somebody like Daryl, you know, just the emotionally stunted person that he is, of like, he, you know, he's competent in all these martial ways, but not in, you know, dealing with, you know, profoundly sad and disturbing emotions like these, and just the guilt of this, him just flat out, you know, taking the childish route of not saying anything, not making eye contact, just can't interact with it at all. It's believable.
For sure. Yep. I think that's it, bro. Because what's his name takes off right after this. Your boy Simon. They gather up in the courtyard. Not much is said here. People just watch, and they storm away. And we go back to the Rosita shit, which we've already covered.
Yeah. What is it? Oh, you know what? I have a question, real quick. I don't know if you saw this. I couldn't figure it out because Simon was like, oh, don't worry, we're not going to leave you high and dry without any medical resources. And he gives him this big fucking crate, and they open it, and they look inside. I could not tell what it was. It looked like a bunch of cans of Spam or some weird shit.
It was aspirin.
It was aspirin.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of aspirin. A bunch of Advil.
What a funny asshole.
Somebody
fell out of a tree and twisted their fucking neck. We got a whole bunch of aspirin. Don't worry.
That's it. Shouldn't be climbing trees. That's it.
Well, there we go.
There you go. That's the one.
Hey, don't be too overjoyed.
It's over, guys.
Jesus.
I'm mad at myself that I'm so uninspired for this episode. I'm upset with myself. I'm about to have an intervention with myself.
Yeah.
Yep. It's true. Well, I suppose we should probably do a couple listener comments. I'm sure there's a couple on there we can snag-a-roo. Got anything?
I do. I got Mr. John Bucket.
And excellent, baby.
Oh, yeah. And he said, mixed bag for me this week. Liked the cold open. Very nicely done. Liked Simon. The music was great throughout. Actually liked Maggie getting shit done, and the scene with Daryl was also good. Just not buying Selma and Luzita's course of action, though. Uh-huh. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I get that they're upset and angry, but who isn't? After all they've been through with the group, why the hell do they risk everyone's lives like this? They've seen how Negan punishes Defiance by hurting others. Also, why don't they trust in working as a collective? It's been the reason they've made it this far. Okay, so Sasha is suicidal, but she'll get others killed in this ridiculous solo assault on a massive, heavily defended facility. The whole storyline doesn't hold to the established behavior and relationships of our group. I just can't buy the Sasha portrayed over the last few years would be so rash and just plain stupid. It seems too contrived, and it is too clearly a way of writing the character out so the actor can leave to work on Star Trek. Oh yeah, and Eugene? There's no way he could just leave. He's working on the inside, has opportunity to both survive and to potentially provide an enormous tactical advantage, and he knows it. If he leaves, Negan comes after him and kills him and many others. And his radio announcements are hilarious. And that was definitely Dwight at the end. I'll put a fiver on it.
All right.
So that's Bucket's in that camp over there.
Man, I'm fucking so wrong about this being Daryl, I guess.
Nah, I'm sorry. I disagree on two things there. I do think that is, in fact, Mr. fucking Daryl. And I also think Mr. Bucket still believes Mr. Eugene is playing the long con. And I think, nah, I think he is full tilt smashing with Negan. He's in it. He loves it.
But he's like any other person. If Negan gets annihilated, he'll be back with the other guys. I mean, he's not going to be like, you kill Negan, you fucks, and shoot him all.
Oh, totally not. He's just going to be like, well, I hope you don't kill me for having a sweet bedroom and video games.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm going to do Jason Lichtenberger. Jason Lichtenberger. This episode just didn't do a lot for me, and I'm somebody that typically defends it against its critics. If I rewatch the complete series in the future, this will be an episode I skip because nothing happens. We're led to believe from clever editing in the preview that Simon and the Saviors arrive at Hilltop for Daryl, but it's for the Doctor instead. Meanwhile, Sasha and Rosita have a heart-to-heart on their way to the Sanctuary. I realize we're not getting the all-out war arc until next season and that this year's finale is marching toward the beginning of said war. But man, do they have a ways to go in the final two eps to set things up. Since there was so much to cover, I'm worried that the setup will either, one, feel forced and manufactured, like getting all the heroes outside of Alexandria's walls last season to meet Negan, or two, not have a satisfying end of the season, and they're still setting the table at the beginning of next year. I just think the pacing with the episodes needs work. Things drag on too much. How I personally would love to see the season end beginning of the war is for Rick and Daryl to chase down Negan for a duel on Geonosis. Wow. I like your style, kid. He then closes by saying both heroes are soon wounded and need saving by a more wise and accomplished warrior. Negan flees and begun all-out war has. Keep up the great work, guys. Thank you very much, Mr. Lichtenberger. I appreciate it.
I got to follow that one up with our the person who I've already offered to do another podcast with, Karen Eagle Eye Lomas.
Wow.
She actually said, Jason Lichtenberger, you beat me to the punch, but I'm saying it anyway. Everyone knows how much I love The Walking Dead, but this episode was sheer fuckery. So misleading. I was looking forward to an all-out shredding of Hilltop by Simon in search of Daryl. Possibly ending with them stumbling upon Maggie that would finally give him reason to kill. Hopefully behead Gregory. Think about it. Daryl blames himself for Glenn's death. The saviors, while at the hilltop looking for him, find Maggie. They bring her back to the sanctuary. What would that do to Daryl? Also, I've never seen a necklace show up and disappear so quickly. Fuckery! I was happy that we finally got the conversation we needed between Daryl and Maggie. Keeping in mind, Daryl never got to talk to anyone about the events of that night. Very good point, Karen. As far as Rosita and Sasha, I was pleasantly surprised to hear about Rosita's backstory, how she used all those guys learning from them and moving along. But in the world of The Walking Dead, that heart-to-heart means it's curtains for them both. I think I'm with you there, Karen. I think I don't just think it's going to be Sasha on her suicide run that gets it. I think this may be the end of Rosita as well. I'm not sure if she makes it past the season.
Nice. I got one more. Susan A. York. I don't know if she's British. I just felt like doing that.
Yeah.
I can't say York without saying it like that. York.
York.
Unless I'm saying New York. Did you notice Eugene's walkers were not dangerous? They could not move, question. They had their heads encased, of course, like the ones he saw when he was with Abraham. How can Negan be so stupid? Oh, yeah, problems of continuity in the program. Unless he's drugging him with drugs he keeps in Grimbley Gump. Maybe I should just chill. It's a good point, and that's why I wanted to read this. Those are supposed to be armored, right, and moving about in the yard, but they were, like, stuck to the fence. Is that supposed to be something? What is that?
I don't think so. Well, because there was that in the episode where they bring Eugene there, and Negan is like, hey, I got this job for you, fucking leaning all back on his heels. He points out a zombie that is stuck to the fence, literally. And as it's stuck to the fence, it kind of collapses in half. So I think he does have certain walkers that he wants attached to the fence that can still, you know, move their arms and stuff, just to deter you, I guess, from climbing up it.
Okay, fair enough.
And like so I think, yeah, basically, yeah, like so somebody can't just walk up to the fence and scale it.
I get
There's
it.
All these fucking zombies pressed against it. So I'm like, I think that's still okay.
Awesome.
We've reamed this show pretty hard. I'll throw them some small bones. I think we can do that much.
All right, fair enough. Anything else there, pal?
I don't know. Yeah, this is one of I have my Walking Dead seasonal punch card. This is one of the clunkers. Like I'm like clip. There's another. It's one of the clunker ones. It's not great.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
I mean, yeah, you know, I accept it.
All right.
It's whatever. It happens every now and again. I really do hope we come with a surprise of dynamite being carried out there by someone, either Rosita or Sasha. I think that's gonna happen, man. I want to see that. That's my prediction that dynamite is gonna come back into play in the next episode or two.
I like it. Well, something's gonna have to kick off the war here, and I'm guessing it's gonna be the death of one of these two lovely ladies.
Yeah,
one or both. I don't know.
Sasha's going to have a backpack full of dynamite, and it's going to blow up so hard that it's going to propel her into space and onto the fucking deck of the new Enterprise.
Nice. Nice. I recommend just using a transporter in the future. But
probably better.
I guess that'll work. All right. I guess we're going to get out of here. All right. We're done?
I think we're done.
That was bullshit.
Right. And you mean that in this literal sense now?
All right. We'll take it easy, guys. See ya. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning into another episode of The Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out LibertyStreetGeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right, we'll see you next time.